This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
A very good Monday, or Tuesday, I should say, race fans. I saw something on Twitter earlier. It's a Tuesday that absolutely feels like a Monday, especially after whatever it's been, 8, 9, 10 days off. Hope everybody had a terrific July 4th and 5th, because we got the Monday holiday folded in, and certainly a terrific couple of weekends and weeks of racing, because there was midweek action, and that includes a couple of venues that we'll actually talk about in this hour. I've got not mostly three-year-old, but a lot of three-year-old performances to discuss. It is Derby week in Shelbyville, Indiana Derby, of course, and Oaks, and much more. Marcus Hirsch will start that coverage, actually. Marcus and Bill Downs. Should be fun tomorrow. They've got a nice card. And that's been the case in pretty much all the various, you know, the start of the regional derby season, right? Last week with Ohio. And actually, we're going to talk to Al Stahl about Masked Parade, because there's one of the three-year-olds that is going to make plenty of noise. And then it was anticipated, but he went out and ran like it. Went out and ran like he was anticipated to run well. So Al Stahl, and we'll get some previewing from Al, too, for Saratoga. And I think that'll be tinged here between now and next week when the scenes shift. And, of course, three more days of racing at Belmont, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then a little short respite as the scene shifts up here, and ideally this rain will all dissipate and get out of the way. It was a goofy, the weather for the, you know, some, there were a lot of people vacationing, obviously, and it was nice, actually, as part of the time off to, you know, to see people traveling, and, you know, the roads were busy, and you could sense there was plenty of activity. We ended up not doing everything we thought we were going to do. We ended up with just one a little overnight. The weather, because it was looking cold and nasty, not just limited to Lake Placid. We didn't go to Lake Placid for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We bagged that because there was no way. What are you going to do? You're going to go sit there in 55 degree temperatures and raining? No. So we ended up doing something different. I'll slip that in, actually, because it was perfect. But otherwise, I'm sure a lot of you saw what I was doing for a good portion of the 10 days, which was, you know, trying to get organized. I always use this and that week and Christmas week to purge, you know, tons of stuff. But I also went further because I was digging into boxes and boxes of stuff. And a number of you responded, actually. And I sent out a number of old DRFs and some other things. In fact, Rich Migliori figured into this because I found a DRF that had, in fact, Tony, too. We'll talk, when we talked to Tony on Thursday, I found a DRF with PEBs of both Tony, the same issue, Tony and Rich Migliori in the same 1992 DRF. So, and if any of you, yeah, I'll make a list at some point of, I'll make a list for the people that, for the people that might still be interested, I'll get you some of those other Derby, Preakness, Breeders' Cup, Belmont. There's a couple of Travers and Haskells. They're really, every time Tina came up, she thought to me, essentially said to me that you're not getting anything done. You're reading all these DRFs. And she wasn't entirely wrong, but I did get plenty accomplished. Anyway, that was part of the 10 days. The other racing, and there's plenty of news. I mean, I'm not going to try to get to everything here in 20 minutes to try to summarize what's gone on in a week and change. But certainly, there were certain performances like mass parades. And that's sort of why I reached out to Al to start the conversation. And in fact, at the back end, we've got Todd Pletcher, too, today. And Todd, with three stake wins of all different ilk, starting with the Mother Goose win, Zajil, with a sizable upset in that Mother Goose, right? Joel Rosario. And that was a big performance. And actually, some nice news makes me think, and I'll bring it up with Todd, I'm sure, but on the Shadwell front with Sheikh Hamdan, the late Sheikh Hamdan's daughter, going to press forward with Shadwell, which is very cool. But this Street Sense filly wins the Mother Goose. That we'll talk about that with Todd, and last weekend as well, the Bashford Manor winner. Todd with a Super Saver son, Double Thunder. Wasn't as fast as McPeak's filly in the debutante, but wins the Bashford. So we'll talk about those with Todd. And then, of course, the Nehrud win with Mind Control. What a terrific battle that was. Going to take me a second to orient on the days, right? But on Sunday, absolutely terrific. And the first start under Todd's care, too, in that Nehrud. The Brunetti family. Where is it? There we go. There's too many. There it is. Yeah, it was Sunday. I was right. You get into this situation and you just sort of lose track of which days and all these stakes, and some I saw live, some I had to watch replays of. But Firenze Fire and Mind Control locking up, and the two of them. In fact, it occurred to me to go and look and add up the number of times the two of them have met. And, I mean, just recently in the Mr. Prospector over the winter and in the Vanderbilt last year, you got to figure they're ticketed again to hook up. But Mind Control, and of course Todd and Greg Sacco, this is not an unusual scenario where Sacco and Pletcher have exchanged Brunetti products. But the five-year-old, Mind Control, and Johnny with a terrific effort. What a nice weekend for Johnny. He went out to California for yesterday for the Great Lady M to ride Gamine, who romped in the Los Al closeout. Baffert sweeping those two stakes, the Los Al Derby, too. We actually won two in there with Classier. But Gamine's performance was really strong yesterday. And there isn't a fig, but it's got to be mid-hundreds. Big effort by Gamine. But we'll also talk to Todd. Todd didn't win everything. He did have a couple of performances that I'm sure were, a little disappointing. And most notably, going back to Saturday in the Suburban, right? Happy Saver. It was just kind of dull, right? Just sort of flat-footed, it seemed. And you had the upset, Max Player, with Ricardo Santana Jr. for the Asmussen Barn. And Mystic Guide, I think if Louis Saez had it over to do again, he might not have stayed down inside. You know, you had plenty of moisture in that track. I don't think it did him many favors. But, you know, Max Player wins on the square. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. It's a little dink in the fender for Mystic Guide, but certainly on the Breeders' Cup winning, you're in front. You do want to take advantage of those. Why not? Why wouldn't you? As Marty McGee says, why wouldn't you? There's so many things here from the last couple of weeks, and I'm trying to touch on them. And, you know, I mentioned Mystic Guide. Well, you know, Godolphin, who just continues to be seemingly out of control all over the globe. You did have the Maxfield win in the Foster, closing out the Churchill season. And that was a card we were looking forward to. And I just mentioned Double Thunder with Todd and McPeak winning with Behave Virginia. But she posted that's an early season establishing performance by a 2-year-old filly, Behave Virginia. She was very good in there. And Latruska, I the Fleur de Lis, let's be honest, I mean, it certainly kind of fell apart, I mean, from what everybody was anticipating, which was too bad. But a nice performance there. I mean, Latruska continues to back it up, and Fausto Gutierrez, I was suitably impressed. I kind of was trying to be clever, but Latruska muscled her way around on the front end with Jose Ortiz. Jose Ortiz had a very good middle portion of the summer. Any number of efforts. You know, yesterday, first captain, speaking of the 3-year-olds, as part of the, you know, sort of this mid-season launch point toward things like Haskell and Travers and Pennsylvania Derby, etc. First captain was good yesterday in the Dwyer. He's going to have to get, quote-unquote, faster, all right? Yeah. But very solid to stay, you know, to stay perfect. A number of other performances on that Churchill card. Navratilova. And that race also changed a little bit because of some scratches. But Navratilova just kept going for Rusty. That was impressive. And set piece won the Wise Dan. Giroux kind of weaving his way up to win. That was a nice way to close out what was a very good spring season at Churchill. No doubt. Gulfstream Saturday as well. The Princess Rooney. That was, I thought, an interesting performance. Michael McCarthy. you give him a goal like that, and McCarthy is going to dial him in. And she was very good. That Estio Talentoso took the money coming out of the Better Roses performance. But CC, and how about Victor Espinoza showing up down there to ride, and also won the smile as well for Eddie Plisa. Miles ahead. The remnants, obviously, this the weekend was, you know, just the end, not the end, but, you know, what's left of Summit of Speed, which at one time was just such a terrific highlight, summer highlight on the calendar at Calder. It was so much fun. Went to several of them. But miles ahead, Victor Espinoza and the familiar police ownership agglomeration. Elman, Mellon, and Plisa together. Nice effort. Nice effort. What, mid-90s? 93 buyer. CC with a 98 and really just, you know, pulled away. Kind of ran away from Estio Talentoso, who was closing. It wasn't a bad performance by her. So you get to this point in the calendar and the divisions are all taking shape. I think as you look up and down. On Sunday, the Bob Umfrey as well, the late Bobby Umfrey, and Warriors Pride took the turf sprint. Delaware. What about Delaware? Let's slip. Speaking of 3-year-olds, Crazy Beautiful. I'm just thinking about it when I'm thinking about Crazy Beautiful. There were no shortage, actually, of dominant, successful, dominant efforts by favorites, including Crazy Beautiful, who, you know, was obviously going to take a ton of beating and went off at 30 cents on the dollar, wins off by half a dozen. Mike Smith at Delaware, and they'll come right back. You know, one of the interesting things about the Delaware calendar is how they back to back the Oaks, and then this Saturday the Dell Cap, the highlight, and they got a nice card. There's the Robert Dick. In fact, Al Stahl. I think Al Stahl's got Delica in there on Saturday, so we can ask Al. About Delica while we're at it. In the Kent, Kelly Breen, who seemed poised maybe to I thought when he won the Kent State on Saturday, I thought, we'll get Kelly on. This was the Not This Time Colt. Joe Bravo aboard. Went favored 6-5 for Edge Racing. And I thought, we'll get Kelly back. Actually, we just talked to him not too long ago, right? And figured, you know, I kind of thought Firenze Fire. I mean, Firenze Fire actually was one of the, you know, the disappointments, I suppose, of the short prices from the weekend, from the 2 weeks. What'd he go? He went off. Wow, he went off a 2-5. That's a little over the top. I mean, 4-5. That was a good ride. If you haven't seen it, how far? They were only, I tell you, they were 2¾ lengths clear of 3 Technique. And but the two of them sparred all the way around, and that was entertaining. You had the force out at Pimlico on Sunday, right? You had they had a rainbow force with some stake action, and included Yaupin for Steve Asmussen. Santana down there. Who else? Dale Capuano, always in a hurry, won the concern. Mrs. Orb, Mike Maselli, shipping out of New York to win the Caesar's Wish. Trombetta, Mike won with Elination. That was the Jamila. And in fact, nice week for Trombetta. Got to talk to Mike soon. Because Super Escape last week won the Trillium at Woodbine. We'll get back to look at Woodbine at the end of the week as well. And we should mention, you know, we just had July 4th. Well, July 1st, of course, Canada Day. How about Mighty Heart? Nice win. Mighty Heart for Josie Carroll. Look forward to catching up with Josie at some point, too, actually. Things settling in nicely at Woodbine. There's so much so much we want to do. And we've got to get some of the hard news in, including the passing of Arazi, which got tons of notice, right? I'm sure that we'll slip that in. Talk about his career. Right now, we're going to reach for Al Stahl, so we keep the train on the tracks today, because it'll be easy to get out of whack. Didn't mention. I don't want to start diving in to too much news. Yeah, there was probably bring it up with, you know what, I'll save it for Rich Migliori, the second half. Yeah, there was that incident the other day, which was really surprising at Belmont, letting a horse that had run off. I mean, I think all of us expected that that horse was a scratch, and very strange. As careful as the Naira vets and the stewards to let that horse run was just inexplicable. I think I hear Al Stahl in the background, and we say good morning, Al Stahl.
Hey, Steve, how are you? Did you enjoy your vacation?
I did. You can't. It's tough in this game, Al, to take. I don't have to tell you. It's tough to take time away. I mean, this time marches on in this sport. Nothing, it just keeps going.
Oh yeah, no, believe me. Like a band of gypsies, we move down the highway.
Well, and certainly for you, and I'm going to ask you about moving down the highway in a minute, about coming up to Saratoga for the summer. But the first order of business, let's go back to last weekend and the Ohio Derby, because Masked Parade, who we've talked about, really took that anticipated step forward, and facing stakes company for the first time. Talk about your satisfaction with his progress.
Well, I really haven't had a horse that has made such quick progress. He was, we always liked him. He's a very good physical, and he's a kind of an ordinary trained horse that just kind of flops around there a little bit and almost takes care of himself. And we see little blips, drips and drabs of talent in the afternoon in a race, which is a good thing. Even his very first race of sprint in December, he didn't break well and came flying, galloped out like a champ. So, we were seeing a little bit in the afternoon that gave us some hope, and we just kind of kept waiting for something to happen. And once he got a couple dog fights at the end of the fairgrounds, including the disqualification race, where it was put up, I should say, on Louisiana Derby Day, all of those kind of battles really helped him. And then we obviously saw the big move forward on Derby Day, and he was very impressive against a field that I'm not sure how they're going to do down the road, but he served well against the clock and on the numbers. And then we just went right into the seriously deep water running against three graded stakes winners at the Ohio Derby. And whatever the numbers are, that's fine, but there's nothing like competition, and for him to handle that was extremely gratifying for us and gives us a lot of excitement and hope going forward.
Yeah, and it's notable too in this trip to Thistledown, he ended up drawing outside, and as it happens in the allowance romp, he also had been outposted on Derby Day, 10 of 10. Here he was 10 of 11. 9 ended up running, so he did get to move in a little bit, but it gave Miguel Mena basically free rein to choose a spot to set up shop. I mean, talk about what, Miguel, I'm so happy for him, Al, who I'm a huge fan of. And you can always tell when he gets a chance in this kind of company and on a big horse, it means a lot to him. And he continues to be, for me, one of the most underrated guys out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with the chance he delivers, like I said, last summer we had no problem him substituting for Kamsi Ta, and I was arguably a perfect ride there, and he wasn't even phased. He did he made a little subtle move in the Ohio Derby that most probably got him home. That the untrained eye wouldn't see, and the back of the outside post, the horse, he was a horse would just fall out of the gate. We were schooling him in his first race, and now he breaks running and travels in hand and lays close, very athletic, and so that's a good thing for us going forward, where we don't have to really worry about where we draw. But as far as Miguel down the backside, he was traveling along nicely, and Todd's horse was the one horse, Promise Keeper, and with Luis Saez out there and the way the track was playing, he jumped on him pretty early, like the 3.5, and that might have been the winning move there, because that horse was fought all the way to the end, and he put a lot of pressure on him at a time in the race where it doesn't happen too often, and I think that's what got us past that horse, and then we're able to hold off the rest of the greatest stakes who came running.
I think back to our last conversation when he came up and we talked about the FTGGG, the group from New Orleans, and this story and this ride for them just gets better and better.
Yeah, I know it's a phenomenal story. I mean, it's just the beauty of this game. They took their best shot. They put their money up, took their chances, and had a very organized plan. And then the rest was up to luck, and sure enough, they've had some luck, and it's that simple. And the funny thing is, all of this originated, even though we're all from New Orleans, all of this originated in Saratoga about 5 years ago, and because they're just fans, and they would come up for Saratoga, they drive their vehicles from New Orleans all the way to Saratoga, take about 3 or 4 days, and rent a house on I can't think of the name of the street. The first street off of Union, going away from the racetrack. That whatever that first street is, they rent a house, the same house there, and they got a connection, and they were always just there as fans. And finally, one day, he said he'd be in Billy Babb, and the principal, I've got the money together, let's do it. And he said, I don't want to pay any bills. I mean, I don't want to ask for cash from the owners, so the partners. So whatever the finite amount of money is, that's all we want to spend. So we left quite a bit of money for bills and bought two horses, and one of them was Masquerade.
Tremendous. $180,000 Keeneland Yearling. He's an upstart that Brary Jones himself bred. And this is an important horse, actually, for upstart, to have the first crop 3-year-old get graded stake and then clearly project to keep going forward, it would seem. And talk about that, talk about the summer options that you would think, and I think you're thinking about East Avenue coming out of the track.
No, it would be perpendicular to East Avenue. It's a street that runs parallel to Union. It's a famous street. I've lived on it before, but anyway, that's where they've had a rental there for the last half a dozen years. And now this year, with all the people, they've got two rentals on side by side.
Holy cow!
They're going to be ready. They're going to be ready. So obviously, that leads to your next question. I can't. I wouldn't do anything in the world, even though I believe the horse belongs. We're going to run the Jim Dandy with him. He's already in Saratoga. He traveled yesterday and he arrived safely this morning. And we're going to, obviously, essential quality is going to be in there, and maybe that'll keep it to a short field. But we're headlong into that race.
Outstanding. And of course that would set you up for a Travers run, so there the Saratoga summer for them is already guaranteed to be special. I mean, just to even have him training and being able to go out in the mornings, and not to mention, Al, the fact that all of that is available to everybody this summer after last year's frustrations and difficulties.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great for everybody. There's that, the pent-up fans will cut loose. And I can't imagine how many people are going to be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of opening weekend. I'm guessing it'll be 25,000, 30,000 every day, which is going to be exciting. And those guys will be in that number. And they love to come to the barn in the morning, and they know their way around. And it looks like it's going to be some fun. Let's just win, lose, or draw. We're going to do the best we can, and hopefully the horse keeps going forward. So that's we all understand the game, so it's exciting.
Tremendous. And Mass Parade, you know, shouldering his way. And that's one of the fun things about the three-year-old scene at this time of year, that you get horses that weren't on a development curve that was going to allow them to participate in the classic season, or, you know, some have setbacks and, you know, have to reset. So to, you know, to get the cards basically reshuffled and, you know, you don't know until they, you know, you mentioned essential quality. You don't know until they, you know, start banging heads, and you give a horse like this the opportunity. So looking forward to what's ahead for Mass Parade and everybody involved, Miguel Mena and the FTGGG racing team. Al, how many are you bringing this summer? I know you got Ellis, you're set up at Ellis.
Yeah, no Ellis. So we just race and return at Ellis. We're this summer we're going to be divided between Saratoga and Trackside. Churchill's, you know, training facility. So, and a few little training centers around Lexington, Louisville, with horses that are, you know, not quite ready for summertime racing. So, we've got 16 at Saratoga, 16 horses in barn 16. So, that's our normal spot, and we have a barn over at Trackside. So that's how we're just going to grind through the summer, and our Ellis Park horses will just be racing return from Trackside.
Well, and of course, everybody having to vacate Churchill with the work's already started on the turf course renovation, and kind of scattered everybody, you know, to the winds. So nice over at
yesterday was, it looked like Grand Central Churchill Downs. I mean, trucks everywhere, stuff everywhere. It was something. It was unusual because no one's ever seen this happen here, but. And they've already got the rails broken down, and it's on. They're going to be, hope the weather cooperates and they get this done on time, because but they're after it. There's trailers everywhere, and it's just something we got to go through. And in the long run, it'll be better for the horses and the horsemen.
You know, this is completely out of left field, but you know, the fact that this comes up and the Churchill renovation does lead me to bring up the situation that you're going to have to anticipate in late fall in New Orleans. How is that situation with the turf course down there, and you know, what's going to be a delayed start to turf racing at Fairgrounds? How are you going to handle that?
Yeah, I'm going to be staying there with horses. I don't know what else to do.
Wow.
Well, I mean, it's you're referring to well, what's going to happen as far as going forward, there'll be no turf racing in September at Churchill. We'll have a early September at Kentucky Downs, which is just a, you know,
right,
boutique
6 days
or whatever it is. Then we go to Keeneland, which there'll be turf racing there. It's going to be super tough. And then there'll be no turf racing in November at Churchill. And to me, it's all about the weather. In October can be a traditionally dry month in New Orleans, and you know, word I'm hearing is they're going to try and set things up, not necessarily right smack on top of the turf course. I know I talked to a police friend of mine who their horses and their station is going to be on the other side of the fence, like in a parking lot, whereas traditionally they were set up right there at the three-quarter pole on the turf course. So maybe little things like that. And if we get some, you know, if it gets wet underfoot, then we're going to have a little time issue. But if it's dry and they just kind of get in there and get out of there, and we'll still have some warm weather, and, you know, the grass, you can grow grass in Louisiana pretty easily all the way up until, you know, December. So hopefully things like that will go our way. Otherwise, I'm not sure what the timing might be, but that would be an optimistic way to think that we're going to get on the turf course, you know, by late December, January 1st. But if things don't go quite that way, it could be even longer, and who knows, really.
Well, and of course, this is all the reason this is even a concern, and that I bring it up, is because of the way the Jazz and Heritage Festival was basically postponed or delayed until October this year, and you know, long associated with the fairgrounds. And in fact, before I ever saw racing at the fairgrounds, I saw two different Jazz and Heritage Festivals, and then once I started going to Derby, I couldn't go to Jazz and Heritage Festivals anymore.
Yeah, I've never been to one day, one second
wow.
in my life to the Jazz Fest. because I've always been on the road. In the old days, we'd go to Louisiana Downs, and so we'd be gone. And then the same way with Derby, I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to go to Jazz Fest with Derby. So I've actually never been in my life. But, you know, this year, people are, you know, saying things about Churchill. It's not necessarily Churchill. I mean, they've got a strong, strong, quote-unquote, recommendation from the governor to have a Jazz Fest and, you know, treat it as like a little bit of a rebirth type of thing. So, you know, it came from the very top to have a Jazz Fest this year. Hopefully it's just a little bit of a smaller, I noticed the schedule and the artists and stuff. It seemed like it seemed a little bit smaller to me from what I've used to seeing over the years. You know, as far as the lineups, so maybe the whole thing will be a shade smaller and the track will, the track will get through it a little easier. So that's my optimistic point of view on the Fall Jazz Festival. And actually my niece/goddaughter is getting married October 9th, which is the second or third day of the Jazz Fest.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be in New Orleans. So I don't know if I'm going to go take a drive by and see how desecrated my sacred grounds are going to be or not. But I am going to be in town for a Jazz Festival, so I'm not sure how I'm going to handle that. But there's a chance I might go take a peek at it.
You absolutely should. It's incredibly fun. I mean, for those that have never been and don't know anything about it, visit nojazzfest.com. The Jazz and Heritage Festival is amazing. Usually the last weekend in April and the first weekend in May is the traditional dates. And this year, to get it on the calendar, it's going to be the weekend of the, you know, the 8th, 9th, and 8th, 9th, 10th, and 15th, 16th, 17th. It's unbelievable. In full swing, the entire fairgrounds is covered with various performance tents and stages, and all day there's one act after another, every possible, from Mississippi Delta blues to traditional jazz to modern jazz to rock acts to you name it. It's so special and so much fun, but unfortunately this year it's gonna affect the racing season a little bit. So all right, so there's everybody's review on the turf. Let's get a little Saratoga preview, Al. What are you looking forward to? Who are you looking forward to running when you get up here?
Well, I've you know, it's like anything else. I find it very hard to pick who fits and who doesn't fit. I mean, it's like the manifest wasn't put together until yesterday morning for the most part. There's always a shuffle here and a shuffle there, and it's all about the condition book and the condition of the horses and just everything. So I've got just a blend. I'm trying to think of, you know, we don't necessarily have much to run in stake races. We're going to run Delica this Saturday in the Robert Dick Memorial in Delaware, and if she runs well, she could come to Saratoga and try some long distance turf stuff. And so we're looking forward to that. And got just a couple young horses, some fillies and a decent colt, and a couple claimers here and there. And we actually purchased Delica's full sister out of from Andre Fobb's barn, and we're going to try and run her off the plane. She's eligible for non-winners of two. So she's she should run in the first book at Saratoga. She's kind of an exciting prospect, coming with nice form at good race tracks against good horses. So, you know, just horses like that. But it's all about having the horses ship well, train well, and do everything right. And all you can do is hope they can run their best, because we know what's waiting there for us in the competition department. So hopefully they fit in.
How you fixed for two-year-olds?
I was just counting earlier this morning. I got more fillies and colts, but I've got five of them. I think three fillies and two colts, and a couple of them are ready to run. We might try and run one opening weekend, a Constitution filly named Repealing for Paul Varga, and she acts like, you know, she's got some get up and go to her, like a Constitution, you would think, purchased by Steve Young, nice looking filly. And then I have a couple horses that are about ready to run, and they don't have names just yet. I got a Mastery Colt out of 5th and Madison for Columbine, who's been training kind of forward. He's a stocky, maybe a speedy type of horse who's kind of going to run when he gets a chance to, when he gets a name. But he'll run early also. And, you know, just we're going to have some in the middle book. Malibu Moon Filly for Columbine, who acts pretty sharp. And, you know, I'm trying to bring stuff that I think fits up there, obviously, but you never know. You think you got something live, you go up there and you come out the paddock and you're 15 to run one and you run fourth by 7 lengths and there you have it. But that's okay. But we've been there before.
Natalie and the kids get to come?
Yeah. They're there already. Yesterday was move-in day. We got a new house, and our mother-in-law, Nicole's father, passed away about a month ago, and you know, so our mother-in-law came up with us
nice.
From Baltimore, and so we're going to try and just be, you know, family. I'm heading up this weekend once I get my trackside barn, you know, going the right direction, and we're going to really enjoy ourselves as much as anything. We're going to relish being back in Saratoga full force and just remember and get the feeling of why we've come there for 25 years.
Well, I love it, and look forward to seeing you. And you mentioned Dalica coming up on Saturday on Del Cap Day, and that looks like a nice field that came together. You look at this much yet?
Yeah, I looked at it. I mean, she's a type of filly. She's got plenty of black type listed. And she's got placings in graded stakes, and we just have to find these grade threes and just try as hard as we can to knock one out. She's in good form. That we fought that race at Churchill on that hot night where we don't know what happened with all that.
That's right.
All I can tell you, it was exciting when she opened up literally 20 lengths on the field. We didn't know what was going to happen, and she fought really, really hard. And I said, well, this is just going to kill this filly. She didn't even blink an eye. I mean, she's a big, hardy, German-bred horse. And I guarantee she's put on weight since that race. She breathed. I figure she's getting
around this horse and everything. But, you know, we'll see what happens and we'll kind of move on forward.
How about that? Well, Doug, I hadn't seen that portion of the story in the aftermath. In the meantime, nice for you to win an Iowa Derby.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's you know, I've got a lot of friends and you know, around here, and you know, it's been, you know, just great for everybody around here. A local man, you know, winning the big ones around here instead of letting it all go out of town, and you know, it's kind of a joy to do it that way.
I completely agree. And, you know, I think about when you won the Cornhusker with Remembering Rita. You know, the central, you know, the Mid-America racing circuit, when you think about, you know, Nebraska and Iowa and Minnesota and Michigan at, you know, during its heyday. Remembering Rita,
by mares to him this year, and
wow,
and for the first year standing there, I mean, he did good.
Well, and you know, there's probably no telling what kind of produce he gets. There's
too, you know, I mean, you look at your more successful studs and stuff. I mean, they're kind of speed siring horses and everything. And you know, he could carry his speed a mile and a half. I mean, so you know, hopefully they have the right kind of mix and that he does real well.
I love it. I love it. I'm glad he came up to know that he's standing. And you know, you mentioned that story in Nebraska with the gaming, and did see somebody sent me over the weekend the news about the potential for the new track in Columbus.
Absolutely. That's kind of my home country right there, and it's going to kind of be interesting to see what happens, but they're going full boat on it right now, and I mean, I think the people in Nebraska are going to support it real well, and they've been crying for it for a long time, and it finally happened, and I look forward to it.
Well, and this is a Harrah's, right? It's Harrah's that is talking about a casino and a racetrack in Columbus late next year.
It's just exciting because, I mean, like I said, Ole Xarban and the tradition that has been back there in Nebraska for years, and it's kind of went away a little bit, but hopefully it'll come back.
I'm glad this came up because that was one of the stories from the past few days that probably didn't get a lot of attention. But when you say that the community will support it, they absolutely love racing, and I've said repeatedly, I only got to go to Xarban once, but I mean that a tragedy that a racetrack like that, which was as popular as any circuit, as any venue at one time, seventh highest handle in the country at Xarban. And if Nebraska can get this opportunity, there's no telling where you end up.
Well, that's for darn sure. I mean, it's just it's going to be interesting. I mean, they've got the other tracks are going to build themselves up too. But, to put another mile racetrack in the state of Nebraska, I mean, I think that is just a win-win-win deal.
I love it. Doug, a quick survey coming up. You got a nice smattering, it seems, of the string, including a couple of maidens coming up this week. Talk about the season at Prairie Meadows overall.
Well, it's been going a little rough for us. We haven't done quite as good as what we did. We thought we could, It's just, we've got some maidens that I sure think that they'll run really good this week. I mean, looking forward to Apollo Bay. He's a nice colt that we think that's going to be, really useful on down this road. And we got him going a mile this time, and I think that's going to be his distance and everything, And, we just got some scattering of a little of this and a little of that. And, hopefully we can do a little bit better this week.
Well, this is a three-year-old Apollo Bay and a Tapiture colt for Mr. Poindexter.
Yes. We had him last year and he had a couple of little issues and we turned him out and he's come along. I mean, the second time we run him, he kind of got left himself at the gate and everything. But we're putting on some blinkers on him to try to get him to focus a little bit more. And I think he'll run awful big.
How about Our Last Chance, another Iowa bred? This one a homebred for Warren Bush and Ron Ike.
He's a nice colt. We run him here a couple weeks ago up in Minnesota in a stallion auction sale, and we run into a buzzsaw that day, but I think he he showed that he can run a little bit, and I think he'll do real well this week.
I love it. Well, and he's got some allowance horses, no shirt, no shoes, and the big bluff, and you got a nice mix. When you win an Iowa Derby, it pretty much guarantees a satisfying meet, a good summer.
Oh yeah, that kind of has made the summer, and it's kind of made the year in a way.
Sure,
it's one of the highlights of the year, and you just got to savor it when you can and enjoy it. I mean, that's all you can do.
Well, it'd be sure nice next week to hear that somebody stepped forward and maybe out of the partnership, and that that all he had to do was go on the van to Kentucky and then come right back to you. That'd be the best second half of this story.
Oh yeah, it would be. I mean, but if it don't happen, we just got to move on and see if we can find another one someday.
Well, Doug Anderson, terrific to connect, and hadn't talked in a couple of years, but thrilled for you and the team. Stiletto Boy, the Iowa Derby win on Friday night. Doug, continued success.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it, and we enjoy talking to you.
Always great to be able to call you, and remembering Rita was a horse that I really, really liked, and was nice to hear that he's standing in Nebraska, and there's good things ahead, and I'm glad that story came up. There we go. Let's take a break here, top of the hour, a little past. Marcus Hirsch is going to join us, and we'll turn our attention to Indiana Grand and the Indiana Derby card tomorrow. Bill Downs later as well, and we've got Rich Migliori going to be by, Todd Pletcher, and more. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horseville.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Sirius XM Sports presents